This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Douglas Impoga, and here is what's coming up.
And our shared history then is an underpinning of the relationship that we have today.
That's U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris speaking after her arrival today in Lusaka. Coming up, lots more coverage on Harris's trip, an explanation of former U.S. President Donald Trump's court case, and famed South African athlete Oscar Pistorius remains in prison. All this and more coming up on Africa News Tonight. The U.S. government says it will provide more than $500 million U.S. dollars in bilateral assistance to Zambia this year. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris made the announcement at a news conference with Zambian President Hakainde Hichilema in Lusaka today. Harris is on a two-day visit to the Southern African country. Kathy Short reports from Lusaka.
U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris says her visit demonstrates the United States' commitment to advancing its cooperation with Zambia. She held closed-door talks with Zambian President Hakainde Hichilema before their news conference. She adds the aid includes a renewed focus on economic transformation, increased investments in democracy, global health, and climate change solutions.
And our shared history, then, is an underpinning of the relationship that we have today. Today, the President and I had a discussion on a number of important issues. We discussed, for example, as the President had mentioned, our shared commitment to democracy. I want to thank the President publicly for co-hosting the Summit for Democracy yesterday.
At the news conference, Hichilema praised the U.S. for its continued assistance to various sectors of the economy.
Zambia has a clear focus on what we want to do. We were elected on a platform of delivering a functioning economy. Reconstructing the economy is our critical agenda, because we know when we do that, we'll be able to take care of the needs of our people. Education for the young, health service delivery for our people, looking after the old, looking after those that live with disabilities.
In response, Harris called on creditor nations to speed up the restructuring process for developing countries like Zambia. Harris also visited her maternal grandfather's house in Lusaka, where she visited as a child. Her grandfather, diplomat Painganadu Venkantaraman Gopalan, was instrumental in Harris' life as he inspired her to get involved in public life. Harris also said the U.S. is not in competition with China over Africa. Harris is the latest senior U.S. official to visit the continent since January, following Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and Secretary of State Antony Blinken. In addition, last month, First Lady Jill Biden was on the continent. For VOA News, I'm Kathy Short, Lusaka, Zambia.
Zambia's government sees the U.S. Vice President's visit as an opportunity to be involved with U.S. President Joe Biden's push to engage economically and diplomatically with African nations. Harris' visit follows the U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit in December and U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen's visit to Lusaka earlier this year. VOA's Peter Kilote spoke with Zambian Foreign Minister Stanley Kakubo about his government's goals for this visit.
And we were encouraged when Secretary Yellen came into Zambia, and we enhanced those discussions. And then for the discussions that we had with Secretary Yellen to be followed by enhanced discussions with the U.S. Vice President, it means that we are getting closer to establishing a proper framework, a proper strategy of how we can get some of that money sitting here in Lusaka in terms of investments. And already we are getting a good vibe, a good indication from the U.S. private sector that they want to do, to have a footprint in our economy. And that can only be positive. And we want to enhance that partnership.
That was Zambian Foreign Minister Stanley Kakubo. He spoke to my colleague Peter Kilote yesterday from Lusaka. You can hear the full interview on Saturday and Sunday on VOA's Nightline Africa, hosted by Peter. As you just heard, U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris left Tanzania today and arrived in Zambia. She met President Samia Suluhu Hassan on Thursday in Tanzania's commercial capital, Dar es Salaam. For more on that last day of her visit to Tanzania, I spoke with journalist Idi Uwesu.
Today, it was a day of saying goodbye. Tanzania said goodbye to Vice President Kamala Harris, who she concluded her visit here in the country. And today, she had no public activities. It was only ceremonies at the airport where Vice President of Tanzania, Dr. Philip Mpango, was the one who said goodbye to Vice President Kamala Harris. But yesterday, it was a very busy day for her since morning, where she met her host, President Samia Suluhu Hassan, and then she went to National Museum, where she laid a wreath at the memorial to the 1998 terrorist bombing of the U.S. Embassy here in Dar es Salaam. And then she also met young entrepreneurs who showcased their works to Vice President Harris. And it was one of the things that showed to impress VP Harris. And she said that they gave her great hope about the future of Africa and the world at large. In the evening, she went back to the State House, where there was a special iftar prepared by her host, President Samia Suluhu, and other delegates who came together with Vice President Kamala Harris. So it was a kind of historic visit of the Vice President Kamala Harris here in Tanzania, and everybody seems to be happy with her presence here.
Before she came, most people there had high expectations. Were those expectations met according to people you're talking to?
It's true. People expected a lot from this visit. And to some whom I've been talking to, they say, yeah, with agreements that have been made between the U.S. and Tanzanian government, say they are going to open various opportunities, especially jobs and income creation at the national level and individuals. Since the projects that are going to be started or are going to be undertaken are going to have a lot of opportunities. Sectors such as health, education, technologies are the ones that a number of people here in Tanzania. And you can see that most of the people are shown their appreciation with the support of the United States that are going to put in such sectors.
That was Idi Uwesu. I see spoke with me from Dar es Salaam. Harris began her trip to the continent on Monday in Ghana. She's the fifth major U.S. political leader to visit the continent in recent months, part of U.S. President Joe Biden's push to build stronger ties with governments on the continent. Harris spent much of her trip focused on empowering women and the youth, fostering innovation, and encouraging good governance. You are listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Douglas Impuga in Washington. For more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com. Tunisia today launched a quota system for drinking water and banned using drinkable water in agriculture until September. Reuters says the agricultural ministry also prohibited the use of drinking water to wash cars and clean streets and public places. Violators face a fine and imprisonment of between 6 days and 6 months. Authorities said Tunisia is experiencing its fourth straight year of drought, including a scarcity of rain over the last 6 months. It has also experienced a drop in its dam capacity to 1 billion cubic meters, or 30% of the maximum. A senior farmers union told Reuters News the country's grain harvest will be disastrous, with yields declining by about 66%. Former U.S. President Donald Trump is expected to turn himself in and appear in court on Tuesday in New York after a grand jury there indicted him. Specific charges have not been made public. He's the first ex-president to be charged with a crime. For more, VOA's Carol Van Dam asked Anne Chominski, Associate Professor of Law at New York Law School, to explain an indictment, what this case is about, and discuss whether Trump could be sent to jail.
An indictment is just a really fancy way of saying a charging document. It's a type of document that we use that contains criminal charges. Indictments need to contain felonies, which is our highest level criminal offense in the United States.
What is this case, this particular case, about that we understand that the grand jury came back and indicted Trump with?
So right now, we don't know the exact charges because the indictment is under seal, meaning it's not public yet. However, based on our educated guesses, our best guesses of what we know so far, we believe that the charges are surrounding an interaction between Mr. Trump, his lawyer, and another woman having to do with payments to keep this woman silent right around the 2016 election. And specifically at issue is whether or not there was what's called falsification of business records. And in New York State, falsification of business records is a misdemeanor, which is a crime. And if there's falsification of business records in furtherance of another crime, that actually elevates it to that felony level, that higher level offense.
And there has been talk of that, the charge of furtherance of a crime. Can you explain that?
So the idea is if there's falsification of business records, just falsification of business records. So, for instance, if these payments were categorized as legal expenses, but they were not actually legal expenses, that's a lower level offense, a misdemeanor. However, if they were falsified records and the reason that they were falsified was either to commit another crime or to conceal another crime, in this case, potentially illegal campaign contributions, then that would elevate this to that felony level offense, the more serious criminal offense.
If Mr. Trump is found guilty of these charges, could he be sent to jail?
If he's charged with a misdemeanor or a felony, both of those do carry jail or prison sentences with them. With respect to the felony charges, falsification of business records, the felony level offense, that is a felony and it carries up to 4 years in prison.
How would all this affect his run for president again in 2024?
So from a legal perspective, it does not prohibit him in any way from running for president or even becoming president. Our understanding is there are very few limitations in the Constitution, in our Constitution, or I should change it and say there are very few requirements in our Constitution in order to qualify to be president. So for him to run, he can have pending criminal charges against him. He could be even convicted of these charges and still run for president.
That is Anne Chomsky, Associate Professor of Law at New York School of Law. She was speaking with my colleague, Carol Van Dam. South African former Paralympian Oscar Pistorius lost his bid for parole today after the parole board determined he's not eligible for release until August 2024. The world-renowned track star was jailed for 13 years after he shot and killed his girlfriend, River Stankip. Thuso Kumalo reports from Pretoria.
Pretoria Correctional Services spokesperson Singabako Nxumalo told journalists Friday the parole board went through Oscar Pistorius' profile and submissions for parole. The members also received oral submissions from River Stankamp's mother, June Stankamp. The board concluded that Pistorius had not served the minimum period of his sentence required for him to qualify for parole. Asked why the hearing took place, Nxumalo said the board only recently learned of the required minimum period.
The suppression order from the Supreme Court of Appeal. We can share it with colleagues. It's not a secret document. It was only received on the 28th of March, meaning 2 days ago.
Nxumalo spoke to journalists outside the Khosi Mamburu Correctional Services in Atteridgeville. Tanya Cohen, the Steenkamp's family lawyer, told journalists the hearing was difficult for River's mother. Cohen said June Steenkamp was relieved that Pistorius was not present when she gave the board her submission. Tanya said June Steenkamp and her husband Barry strongly oppose Pistorius being granted parole.
She doesn't feel that he is rehabilitated. He hasn't told the truth, and for that reason, both her and Barry submits that he should not be released on parole.
Pistorius testified at his trial he thought he was shooting at a burglar when he fired 4 times through a bathroom door. He was convicted of murder in 2016. Known as the Blade Runner, Pistorius won several Paralympic track medals and made history at the 2012 London Olympics as the first double amputee to compete. He made the semi-finals in the 400-meter race. The parole board is expected to consider a parole request next year. Reporting for VOA News in Johannesburg, I am Thuso Khumalo.
Pope Francis is expected to leave hospital Saturday pending the results of his medical tests. He's scheduled to take part in a Palm Sunday service at St. Peter's Square this weekend, an event that kicks off Holy Week services for Roman Catholics. The 86-year-old pontiff was taken to a hospital in Rome 2 days ago, where he was diagnosed with bronchitis and given an infusion of antibiotics. The French news agency AFP says on Friday morning he had breakfast, read newspapers, and did some work in the private purpose suite in the hospital. Pope Francis has suffered a number of health issues in recent years and was hospitalized in 2021 for an inflammation of the lining of the colon.
Hello! This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Here's what's coming up on African News Tonight. The King of Belgium is in the Democratic Republic of Congo for a historic visit. A court in South Africa has rejected a Mozambique extradition request for former finance minister Manuel Chang. And Cameroon's military says it has arrested four of its troops for the killing of nine civilians. These stories and more on African News Tonight.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Douglas Impuga in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent, 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and our engineer, Cornelius Tena, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Niger has faced many challenges, including violent extremism and climate crisis. In each case, noted Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Niger has prioritized inclusion, community engagement, pragmatic solutions. The United States is committed to the close partnership we forged together and to make it even closer, he added during his recent visit. Secretary Blinken announced nearly $150 million in new humanitarian assistance to help meet needs in West and Central Africa and the Sahel, created by regional instability.
That assistance will support the provision of shelter, essential health care, emergency food, safe drinking water, sanitation, hygiene services, and will also support vulnerable refugees and asylum seekers evacuated to Niger.
The United States is also supporting investments in the long-term security of Niger, including helping make Niger's law enforcement more effective in combating terrorism, strengthening border security, enhancing counter-narcotics capacity, stemming trafficking, and violent extremism. Secretary Blinken also discussed how to deal with the global food crisis.
We've been supporting immediate interventions to help those facing acute food insecurity. Just since the aggression by Russia against Ukraine a year ago, we contributed an additional $13.5 billion to address food insecurity around the world, but most of that has gone to Africa. We're by far the largest donor to the World Food Program as well and other international mechanisms that are helping to deal with food insecurity.
The U.S. is also supporting the Black Sea Grain Initiative, which has brought Ukrainian grain to countries across Africa, said Secretary Blinken.
Over 4 million metric tons of wheat have gone directly to developing countries as a result of this initiative. That's the equivalent of 8 billion loaves of bread. So millions of people around the world, and especially here in Africa, rely on this initiative to help deal with food insecurity. It's imperative that it's imperative that Russia allow it to continue.
Beyond emergency aid, the U.S. is making long-term investments in African food production capacity and resilience, because ultimately the goal is for African countries to be able to produce their own food. There are many other ways in which we are working together to deepen this partnership, said Secretary Blinken. Niger is really an extraordinary model at a time of great challenge, a model of resilience, a model of democracy, a model of cooperation.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.